Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Now see, I'm a very realistic type of person. If you tell me that, Teresa, this is the rules, this is what you go by, and this is how it's going to be done, then I will, and I know you're the authority of how to do it, then for me to argue with you and say, I don't think I'm going to do it your way, I don't think it's going to happen like that, I'd be pretty dumb, wouldn't it? But if God said, God is talking, the just shall live by his faith. That's as plain as God can make it. And I used to think, why? Can't you just give me a set of rules and do's and don'ts? Can't you just give me a list that I can go by, like a punch list? You know, I get this done and I got that done and then I've accomplished something. I feel good inside, right? No, God said, nope. That's the way the Old Testament people lived. The Old Testament people had to live by the rules. You know, but we, as children of faith, we live by something called faith. We have to live by faith. And I can't tell you the hours and days I've cried and screamed and beat my head against the wall and said, God, can I live by my feelings? Can I live by my emotions? Can I make you do something because I'm begging you hard enough? Can I make you do something for me just because I just am so pitiful? No. The only thing that moves the hand of God is faith. Because he's set a decree in heaven, earth, and hell, the just, the ones who have been justified with God, have got to learn something. And if there's no other way around it, you're going to have to learn to live by faith. And then people say, well, I'm in trouble. I was one that said that. I'm in trouble. I'm in some big trouble because I don't know how to live by faith. I don't know anything about faith. I just got saved. What are you talking about faith? What is this faith stuff? A lot of people don't know what faith is. They have no idea what faith is. They think they do, but I want to share with you what faith is today and how to live by it. If you are required by God, and you are, let me just establish this right now. You are required by God if you're going to serve God to live by faith. You just are. Because he's a faith God of a faith people. And it's not based on your feelings. It's not based on your emotions. It's not based on being good or being bad. You know, being good and bad is nice. I mean, it's good if everybody's always good. But we ain't always good. It's not based on good. It's based on faith. I used to say, Lord, when I hear you say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant, I know you ain't going to say good and faithful to me. You're just going to say, enter in, faithful servant. Because I ain't always been so good. But I've been faithful. That's one thing you can say about me. I have been faithful. I've 34 years. I pray every day. I read the word every day. I haven't missed church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Buddy, I'm there. I had to drive a whole hour in the rain, the snow, and the sleet, and everything else to get there. But I was there because that's where God said to go. I went wherever God told me to go. I was faithful to do what he told me to do. So I've always been so good, but I've been faithful. I've been faithful to follow God as best that I know how. And on top of that, you can grow faith. Faith is something you can grow. It's something that you can develop. You can grow something called faith. It's like a garden. You just your spirit is like a garden, your faith garden. Okay, let me show you a couple more verses here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17. This will be easier for you to find because Romans is in the New Testament. And it's after the book of Acts. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Now this might seem like a very simple message for a mature believer. But I think everybody needs to get a refresher on faith. Everybody has got to understand this and grasp this. Because a lot of people, they think they're pleasing God. They think they're pleasing God. They think they're making God happy by going to church, by paying their tithes. But if you're not doing anything but If you're not doing all that stuff by faith, you're not pleasing God, because the just shall live by faith. But it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So whatever you do it with faith, because that's how you live. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Why don't you just stop a minute sometime and examine, am I really living by faith, or do I have to see it before I get it or believe it? Do I have to have it and then I'm happy? Do I have to see the manifestation, what I want from God, and then I think I'm walking by faith? Let me tell you something. If you have to have it before you are happy, or before you have this utopic feeling of being satisfied, that ain't faith. Faith says you have it before you get it. Faith says you've got it already before you ever have it. A lot of people don't know even if they're living by faith. Well, they've never experienced it. They've never taken the plunge. They've never taken the challenge that God is laying before you. You got to live by this thing called faith. You got to live by it. Living by it means 24/7 living. You live and breathe and do for God by faith. Because faith is a spirit. I mean, God is a spirit and faith is a spirit. God is a faith God. God is a spirit. Okay, now let me show you another one. It's in Galatians chapter 3. I'm giving you three witnesses here today that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, three witnesses that God has said, if you're going to serve him, you're going to have to do it by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. All of these verses need to be marked, highlighted, put a star by them in your Bible. Make that Bible your guidebook to living. I couldn't imagine not reading my Bible every day. I can't imagine not seeking God's face every day. I just can't imagine living like that. That ain't a life with, that's a life of faith. So Galatians 3:11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." Now that's a very important point. A lot of people feel like they're righteous because they do all the right things. That ain't what gets you righteous. That's not what gets you righteous. Galatians 3:11 says, "For the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. I examine my heart. I say, God, am I living by faith? Am I really living by faith? In America, when everything is so abundant, in America where there is a Kroger's, every time I turn around, there's a Kroger's being built. Georgetown just put this huge Kroger's in. Such an abundance of stuff in America. But I've been to a third world country. I know what it's like in third world countries where children live. They live in little huts, little thrown together cardboard boxes. And they can't go down the store and get whatever they want. There's no food stamps for those kids. All they live maybe on is maybe one meal a day, if that. And they don't even have shoes. So in America, it's not really a demand on us right now to really live by faith. Because there's such a super abundance of stuff everywhere. There's McDonald's drive-thru. You know, they got the dollar menu. Who can't get a dollar? So what's really going to be the test of American Christians is when there is no stuff. You see, everybody that needs a job that walks in here gets a job because we pray by faith. We believe. We have something called a believer. My believer believes. And I've been developing my faith for many years because I knew how crucial it is to develop your human spirit in this area called faith. And if it says it three times, my goodness, the just shall live by faith. There's three witnesses. You're living by this thing called faith. I live by it. I don't have a choice in it. It's like, God, I wish you'd figured out another way to make it happen. But no, he said, this is how you have to learn to live. You have to learn to live by faith. And let me show you, let me give you the definition of what God says faith is. Now, God says a lot about faith. The Word of God is loaded about faith, so I've got an abundance of resources here when it comes to faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Everybody got it? I'm going to tell you what faith is. And then I'm going to tell you what faith is not. A good rule of thumb, if you want to know what something is, find out what it isn't. But I'm going to tell you what it is because the word tells you what it is. It says, now faith is, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What? I gotta live by that? That's what I live by? What? Are you kidding, God? You are kidding me. Excuse me, 3 times you tell me I gotta live by faith, and then you tell me it's the substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Excuse me, God. I happen to have eyeballs. I have 5 physical senses. I like to touch things. I like to feel things. I like to know I got what I'm asking you for. Well, he says, you do. You do that. You do all that. No, I don't. If I can't see it and I haven't got it yet, what are you talking about? It's the evidence of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. There's substance and there's evidence, okay? Let's just really be honest here. I don't think many of us have ever, ever, ever lived by faith the way God expects us to. I haven't. I'll be the first to tell you, I have bucked up against this thing for years. I said, God, because a lot of times I've asked God, I need things and I need them now. I don't need them like in a year. I don't need my truck fixed in 5 months. I don't need this or that, whatever it is I'm asking God for. I can't wait on it because I need it now. And the Lord showed me something about this verse. He says, read it again. Read it again. He said, now faith. That's what faith is. It's now. Faith is always now. Faith is a now faith. Faith is not a future faith. Faith is now faith. Faith is always present tense. It's always now. Now, the faith he's asking you and me to live by as Christians is always now. It's not future. It's not way off somewhere. It's a faith that's called now faith. See, I live by now faith. And it's now faith is. I have the substance and I have the evidence. I have it now. I have it now. But see, we're physical beings and we're sense-ruled beings. We like to see things with our physical eyes. We like to touch them with our tangible fingertips. We like to embrace things and say, oh, I got. We like to see the green in the bank account. Do we not? Don't we like having it first and then believing it? Don't we like to see it? See, God is not like us. And he's doing everything he can in these last days to get his children, who are his children, his offspring. We're his seed. We're his seed. We're the seed of the righteous. We are his seed. We are Christ's seed. Then are you Christ's seed and heirs according to the promise? See, I'm a child of the King. I'm adopted into the family. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I've been made to sit in heavenly places. I know who my God is, and I know who my King is. And I also know who my Savior is. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's everything to me. But he's a faith God of a faith people. Let me say that again. He's a faith God of a faith people. And he's a faith God of a faith people who understand what faith is. And faith is always now. It's now faith. When I fell down these stairs, broke my ankle. There's no doubt my ankle was broken. I had a choice. I could either revert back to hope or I could do now faith. Because now faith says it's healed. Now faith says I have it now. So I grabbed my ankle because I really know this is better. This is the highest way to live. And I've been called to live by this. 3 times I just showed you. 3 times it says the just shall live by faith. He's not talking about hope. He didn't say the just shall live by hope. He says the just shall live by faith. So I grabbed the ankle and I said, now ankle. And I'm in so much pain I could hardly breathe. I am literally shaking. I am in a panic of my body's experiencing, not my spirit. My body now was having a fit because it's hurting. It's sending a signal to the brain, the natural thing. And in the natural thing would be to go call an ambulance or call or start hauling for help. Help! But I called on my faith. I called on something inside me. There's something in me called faith. Because I've been developing this thing called faith for a long time. And it raises up when you need it. Believe me, your faith, you have a personal responsibility to walk by faith. And you have a personal responsibility to develop your faith. So I grabbed my ankle and by faith, the now faith that I possess within my spirit, I spoke now to my ankle and I commanded my ankle to be healed next week, in 6 months. No, I called my ankle healed now. Ankle, you're healed now in the name of Jesus. Line up with the word of God. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. War means past tense. See, God was healed 2,000 years ago. But I had to wake up and get born again and realize what he did for me. So healing's already in the atonement. Healing's already in the new birth. So by faith, I laid hold on what was already mine. And my now faith kicked in and made it happen now. Not way off somewhere. Not in the future. Now. When was I healed that day when I fell down these stairs? When I declared, now faith, you're healed. And you know what now faith made me do? Made me get up. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. You hear me? Woo! I took off walking. Crazy, ain't it? Now, it's well, not big as a balloon or a football. Y'all saw my ankle. But by golly, you think one time I thought it was broken? No. When I said it's healed, it had to line up with the word. You see, your faith has to be in line with the word of God. If you don't have any word in your spirit, you ain't going to have no faith. Because the just shall live by his faith. What? Okay. Here's some more verses. Stay right here in Hebrews 11. Stay right in Hebrews 11 and look at this next verse. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. I think I had a good report that day. I think that heaven was looking at Teresa and said, she did good. She did good. She put forth her faith. Because your spirit dominates your body. It's supposed to. Your faith is supposed to dominate your world. Your faith is the most powerful thing you have. Do you know God created the world by faith? By faith, it says. Look at this next verse here. Verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, if God can frame the worlds by faith, my ankle ain't no big deal. My ankle is no big deal. And any problem you've got is no big deal. If the whole world, all the universe were framed by faith. Faith is that big. Faith as big as you want it to be. Faith is as big as you can believe it to be. Faith, God has so much faith that he framed everything exists by it. That's how big faith can be in your life. So faith is such an important thing to have. And we've got to live by it, so you might as well figure out how to develop it. And I can show you how to develop faith. I can show you how to grow faith. So if we understand, now do you understand that he says you do? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, we just can't hardly wrap our minds. Our physical, so restricted, God in a box mind around that kind of statement. It's way out there beyond the box. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That kind of thinking is just not natural. What do you mean? God did that. And how did he do that? Let's read it again. Because see, even by faith, you got to believe this. It takes faith to even receive what I'm sharing. You can't even get this in the natural. You're going to have to receive what I'm even sharing by your spirits, the faith in your heart. your faith. Your faith will do a lot of things for you. Through faith we understand, okay? Let's just establish that. It's going to take your faith right now to understand what I'm sharing. And God's a faith God. And so through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen, like I happen to be seeing this physically, this is the physical realm I live in. We see things out of our physical eyes. So by we understand so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So he took things that didn't appear and caused things to be created that appear. That's how faith works. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Am I challenging your thinking here a little bit? That's what true biblical faith is. True biblical faith, if you're a Christian and you've been getting along in a padded little world, a padded little life, where you've always had plenty of money and plenty of stuff and you never worry about nothing, you ain't never lived by faith. Because faith is what takes you bringing something that doesn't exist out of the spirit realm and making it manifest itself now in the physical realm. And you can only do that by faith. You can't do that by wanting it, begging for it, crying for it, beating your head against the wall for it, crying so hard that your eyeballs are going to pop out, which I've tried. I have tried that, and it doesn't make things happen. But when I got a hold of what faith was, when I got a hold of what truly faith would do for me, I said, I got to have some more of this. It's kind of like the first time you ever ate an ice cream cone. Oh my goodness, this is some good stuff. You want more. You want some more of this. I got to have some more of this stuff called faith. Now, if you'll go with me to Romans chapter 12. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to show you something else here. And I want to read 1, 2, and 3. I am by no means where I am going to be in my faith. I am not even scratched the surface where I'm going to go with my faith. I'm just starting out this living by faith stuff. Remember Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. And then it goes on and says, verse 1, everybody there, Romans 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that's what we're doing here today. You are being transformed. You may not even realize what's happening, but your mind is being transformed by the Word of God. Because that's what the Word of God does. It just automatically happens. Automatically happens. Word of God changes you. So you're being transformed. You're being changed by the Word of God. Because faith comes from hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when you start renewing your mind to the Word of God, it starts making you think like God. And see, God knows how to make stuff happen. He knows how to create universes. He knows how to speak to things that don't exist and cause them to exist out of things that don't appear. God is always thinking about how to create something because he's a creator. And he knows the way to get it done is by faith. And everything God does, he speaks it by faith. When he said, let there be light, he had faith for that to happen, and it happened. Everything God says, it happens. Because he knows how to make this thing work. He knows how to work faith. And so when you start looking at the renewing of your mind, it starts changing the way you think about everything. Then it elevates your thinking. It elevates you to a new level of thinking. It takes you to a realm where God lives, where God thinks. You start thinking God's thoughts after him. You start looking at the world like he sees it. You start looking at everything from a different perspective. It's like you get a bird's eye view of the world. And you start seeing how little you are, how big he is. I mean, you're just a grain on a, you're not even big as a grain of sand on the seashore compared to the universe. God's a big God, but he created everything we have physically by faith. And he's asking his church, raise up, be a faithful people and a faith people. So you get your mind, start getting your mind renewed by the Word of God. That's where it starts. That you may prove. Now the reason you do this is because most people don't know what the good and perfect acceptable will of God is. I didn't know because I didn't know God. But as you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you start realizing God likes that, but God doesn't like that. God's okay with this, but he's not okay with that. It's kind of you start realizing that there is a good and perfect acceptable. There's three ways to please God. There's the good will of God, the perfect will of God, and the acceptable will of God. Now, I personally, I've lived in all three. I've lived in all three ways with God. I've lived in his good will. I've lived in his acceptable will. But I like living in his perfect will. His perfect will. Like what? Nothing missing, nothing broken, perfect, perfect, perfect. We're talking mature. That word mature, anytime you see the word perfect, know that it means maturity. It means to finally grow up, get rid of the pampers, get rid of the pacifier, get rid of the whining and the bawling and the crying and the pleading and the begging. Most Christians have never got out of the pleading and the begging stage. They're still in the pleading and begging stuff. And crying and mad and temper tantrums and everything else. Anything that used to work for you as a kid, forget it. It ain't going to work for God. If a temper tantrum got you your way when you were a kid, it isn't going to work here in God's kingdom. He's not going to work. It's just not going to work. I've tried it all. So I'm telling you something here today to really help you if you'll get a hold of it. Verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me." In other words, he's just saying, hey, I'm going to tell you something because I've been given the ability to say this. I've been given the strength, the ability, the insight, the revelation to share something very important with you is all he's saying here. And he said, because see, God's grace is God's ability working in you. And he says, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So let me establish a truth for you right here. Faith is measurable. You can measure faith. It's kind of like when you bake biscuits. You got to measure your flour, right? You make rice or you make beans, anything you want to measure, it's you can put it in a special container and say, this is how much I got. Well, faith is measurable. Now, this, you mean this, whatever this thing is called faith, you mean I can measure it? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's measurable. And everybody's been given the same measure. When you got born again, everybody got the same measure. And everybody that stands before God is going to give an account. What'd you do with that measure of faith I gave you? What'd you do with it? Well, I guess I buried it and covered it up. And you remember the guy with the talents? Mm-hmm. Well, when God showed me this, I thought, this is serious. I have to develop this thing called faith. I have to grow my faith. I have to develop it. I have to do something with it. And just simply living can do that. Just live by faith. Just choose to live by faith and see if it doesn't develop and grow your faith. Some people take the easy way. This is not the easy way to live. I'm going to tell you right now, this is the hardest thing you'll ever do. The hardest thing I've ever done was to live by faith. Hardest thing. Because it's not natural. It's not of the natural realm. It's just not natural to live by faith. It's just not natural. It's out there crazy. People thought I was crazy. My kids are puking, throwing up, running fevers. I'm taking these kids to church. Oh, you can't take them kids to church. They're coughing, puking, sick. They're going to church, and they're going to get healed. I knew they would get healed if I could just give them to somebody I could believe. Because I was too baby Christian to believe yet, like I should. But the Word of God says, if there any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church, anointing with oil. And if he's committed any sin, he shall be forgiven, and he shall be healed. The Lord will raise them up, and they'll be healed. So I just had to get them to church. That's all I could think. I'm a baby Christian. But I knew enough to know that the Word of God said that. So by faith, as a mother, I threw them kids puking and everything in the car and made them go to church to get them healed. Now, is that crazy? Yeah, that's crazy to the world. Not to me. Not to a faith person. To a faith person, that makes perfect sense. Because they always got healed. They always got healed. I always got healed. I'll share another little testimony. My third baby, I was 27 when I had her. She's 6 weeks old. I hadn't gone back for my six-week checkup yet. I developed toxemia. I had placenta in the uterus that was rotting in my uterus. I had a fever of 105, and I was very, very ill, girl. I was in so much excruciating pain that I could not walk. I was literally fixed in a fetal position, screaming, begging. I mean, I'm 105 degrees fever, almost. And all I could do is call my dad and say, take me to the hospital, take me to the doctor, take me somewhere. It was time for my six-week checkup, so they got me right in, took me right back, and he laid me on the table, examined me, and said, you've got a really severe uterine infection. I'm going to have to give you the strongest antibiotic I can give you. I'm going to put you on medication, and I'm going to give you something called an irrigate, some kind of medicine that'll cause your uterus to contract, cause you're expelling this stuff. And he said, if you're not better by, see, this was on a Friday. He said, if you're not better by Monday, I want you back in my office. So I went home, took the medicine, started feeling somewhat better. It was some kind of the strongest antibiotic they could give me. And so I went back home. I started feeling better, felt better all day Saturday. But come Sunday morning, why in the world? Sunday morning, all right back like it was, like nothing had changed. I was in the same pain. I had a shooting fever straight up, almost 105 degrees. I'm in horrible pain. And you know what my spirit said? My spirit, not my head, my spirit. Get to the house of God, that man of God, and let them little believers pray for you and believe for your healing. That's what my heart said. So I looked at my husband, because I'm a little bit different than most people. Most people be running the emergency room. Oh, you're going to die. See, I've already died. I died when Jesus died 2,000 years ago. That's when I died. I'm crucified with Christ. That's really what the Word of God teaches us about ourselves. So I told my husband, I don't care what you got to do. If you got to throw a sack over me and pack me over your shoulder, you get me in that car and you get me to church, and God is going to have to heal me, because I went man's way, and I'm 27. I've only been a Christian about 6 years. That's what he did. Had three little babies, had three little kids. He packed them all up, got them all dressed. I couldn't move. Threw me in, basically packed me on his shoulder and carried me to the car. Threw me in the car. And I was a sight to see. I'm telling you what. No makeup. My hair was a mess. And I was white as a ghost, sick as a dog. Pain, fever. They get me to the front of the church, and I'll never forget that pastor's look like, oh my God, what's wrong with her? I said, just get me prayed for. Just get me prayed for. Let me just at least get the service started, he said. Little country church. And they started the music, and I'm sitting down. I was in so much pain, burning up with fever. They got me up there, and this was a little Pentecostal church, and all these little women had the buns and the hairdos and the long dresses, Pentecostal you could get. And they praised King Jesus singing. And they all went barefooted. We're talking way out in the mountains. I'm from the mountains. And they got me up there, and them little women prayed for me, and I didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel nothing. Bam! They got to see the power of God. I've had all that, but this didn't. Nothing like that happened that day. But I want to tell you what did happen. I believed God. Because for one thing, I wouldn't have got my little self in that car, and I wouldn't have drove that 45-minute drive. It was faith that made me go to church that day. Because now faith is now. And I got healed that day. I sat down. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I felt like somebody took a big old vacuum hose and started sucking that fever. It started at my toes, and a big old vacuum started sucking that fever up out of my body, and it came off the top of my head. I was completely healed from then on. Never went back to the doctor. Never went back for a six-month checkup or six-week checkup, whatever they do. Completely healed. I don't know that I've ever been back to the doctor since. Oh, yeah, I have gone back to the doctor a couple of times. But, you know, I've walked by faith in healing for years. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to walk whole, healthy, sound, healthy lives. And you do that by only one way. Now faith. Now, most people, most of us all, start out with that measure of faith. And you've got to develop it. You've got to. And I can show you Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Isn't that a neat testimony? That's a neat testimony because I lived it. I experienced it. Because I know faith works. Romans chapter 10. I want to show you this about faith. Look at Romans chapter 10. And I want to show you verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I just gave you several illustrations of things that I needed to be saved from: a broken ankle. I need to be saved from a broken ankle. Saved me a bunch of money, too. Saved me an emergency room bill. Saved me an x-ray bill. I was saved from a lot of stuff that day because of faith. And let's read the scripture, and I want you to keep in mind that you're going to need to be saved from things. You're going to need a job. You're going to need some money, because we happen to live in an economy with money. If we don't have any money anymore, we'll have to start doing bartering or something else. You know, not all civilizations started out with a currency. If our currency collapses, we're going to have to start living by faith anyway. You might as well get started. Kickstart today, this faith thing. Start working on your faith, is what I hear the Holy Spirit saying today. Start working on your faith, especially those of us who've been on the way a while. It's time to stop fooling around and start living by faith. Amen. And I'm sharing with you what it is. What? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What are you confessing with your mouth? Oh, I got this pain. Oh, I got this sickness. Oh, I got this problem. Oh, I got this. Oh, I got that. Most people confess in that problem more than they confess Lord Jesus. If you will confess the Lord Jesus, even half as much as you confess your problem. See, the Word of God is the Lord Jesus. You cannot separate Jesus from the Word of God, because in John, St. John chapter 1, it says, for the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. In the beginning is the Word, which is Jesus. And in 1 John, it says our hands have handled him, the Word of life. So if you will confess with your mouth instead of your problem, if you'll start confessing the Lord Jesus, find the Word on your problem. Start praying your answer and not your problem. Start confessing the Lord Jesus with your mouth. Your mouth. Now, I can't make you talk right. If you ain't talking word, you ain't talking faith. If you're talking negative, you ain't talking word. If you're not talking, just listen to what you're talking. Let me give this again. If thou shalt, this is the if. The if is your part. If you will do this, if you'll confess with the Lord, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, why is that an important thing to believe? Why is that so crucial to this ingredient? This is an important ingredient to faith. Because for one thing, it takes faith from your heart to believe that a man that was dead, I'm talking dead as dead can get. In fact, he was so dead. Well, they looked at him on that cross. He was like a piece of hamburger. He's coming back to life? I don't think so. If you could have seen how mutilated his body was, how stripped to shreds his body was, how crucified he was dead, beaten, couldn't even recognize him as a man, didn't look like a man. You mean he's coming back to life? Now, if you were looking nice and clean, and, you know, maybe, but I'm talking Jesus was dead, and he wasn't just dead, he was mutilated. And they put him in a tomb, put a big old rock in front of it, and you expect me to believe he was raised from the dead? That man? It takes faith to believe that. So the day you got born again, it took faith to believe that. Your faith, you've got faith to believe for more than you realize. You were given the measure of faith to believe that. If you're born again and you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, in that state he was in, and literally raised him up alive and seated him at the right hand of the Father, if you can believe that, I want you to know right now, you can believe for anything. You can believe God for about anything. But it's the lazy man's way to not do it. It's easier to take a pill. It's easier to go get a doctor's opinion. It's easier than to hear the word of God on your situation. It's easier to go to man. Because it's physical. It's a physical sense thing. We're physically ruled by our senses. Faith is not of your physical senses. Faith has got nothing to do with the physical realm. Nothing. And I'm telling you, there's two worlds. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We live by faith. I showed it to you three places. God requires you and I to live by faith. Now, I know this sounds way out there to some folks. But now, God don't expect you to do this overnight. Let me tell you, the good news is you grow. Remember the measure? You got to grow your measure. You know, it might just be this right here. But then it grows a little more. And you just keep growing. You keep developing your faith. You keep growing it. And believe me, you'll have opportunity to develop your faith. But it's when you feel, let me tell you what it is with me. It's like I hear two voices. I hear a voice that says, I hear the word of God for one thing. And then I hear my head talking. Your head will talk you out of faith every time. But I'm rich in the word. I'm rich. I have a lot of word in me. So I have a choice. I can either listen to the word of God or listen to the natural mind, the natural situation. And that there's something there in me that wants to believe God's word. So I choose the word. It's really a choice situation. It comes to a place where you choose. Now, what keeps people from choosing faith? Let me tell you, the biggest thing that will keep you from walking by faith is something called fear. And fear, think of the ugliest monster with horns and big flaming red eyeballs with big fangs and something ugly that just would like to chew you up. That's what fear looks like. And fear will show its ugly head every time you want to step out by faith. You know what you got to do with fear? You got to take the word of God out and cut its head off and walk over the thing. There. And once you ever defeat it, once you ever cut its head off, it's easier the next time. Every time you cut fear off and don't listen to it, shut it up, cut its head, it just does something to your faith. It grows your faith. Let me look at this verse again. I'm breaking it down as simple as I can. Because the end result, thou shalt be saved. See, I want the thou shalt be saved 100%. I want it to be done God's way 100%. Thou shalt be saved. This is God's ingredient. This is God's way. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, it's your mouth got to do the confession. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, which is the word of God, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's so really is simple, but it's very, very spiritual. It's not a natural way to live. It is such an unnatural thing. And your neighbors will think you're crazy. Your family will think you're crazy. Everybody knows you think, wow, what kind of religion is she preaching? Word of God. This is truly the word of God. Let's go on verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you need to be saved from? I mean, some people really need to be saved from poverty. Some people are so poor-minded, they're so defeated, they can't imagine themselves having two nickels to rub together. They just can't even imagine getting a job. They just see themselves struggling their whole life. They don't see themselves rich. God wants to save you from that way of thinking. God wants to save you from being poor and thinking poor. God wants to save you from being sick and experiencing health. God has nothing but good things. Good things. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I'm going to take you on a little journey here, okay? Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verse 16. Acts 3, verse 16. There was an awesome miracle just happened. He says here, and his name. See, this man had been lame from his mother's womb. He was over 40 years old, and they walked up to the man. They perceived that he had faith to be healed, and they said, look on us. He looked at him, he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he received strength and was healed in his ankles. And they were just, the people were like amazed. 5,000 people got saved that day over this miracle. 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. Verse 16. And he's talking to these people about what happened. Look what he said. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Remember, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what happened to this man. He believed in the name. It was the name of Jesus, rise and walk. In the name. You've been given the name above every name. That in the name of Jesus, it's not your own will you get healed. It's not by my own will. It's based on the word of God. Because I confess it with my mouth, I believe it in my heart, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you need to be saved from? But you're going to have to do it with now faith. It's now faith. It's now faith. It's not in the future. That's not faith. That's hope. If you are hoping for something to happen, that's not faith. That's not true biblical faith. So look what he says again. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. You need to be strong. You need to be healed. It's going to be in the name. It's going to be in the name that you receive anything. And it's going to be faith in that name. Faith in the name now. Faith in the name now. That moment that man grabbed his hand is when he believed. Faith, boom. Right then. Now faith. Whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You want perfect soundness in your life? You want some perfect things to happen for you? Here's the way it happens. Here's a guy who was lame from his mother who never walked a day in his life. And in an instant, perfect soundness came into his body because of the faith in the name. Faith in the name. Faith in Jesus. The name above every name. Outside of Jesus, there is nothing. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. There is no other name in heaven and earth by which men can be saved. It's the name of Jesus. See, we've been given the legal right to have the name. We're heirs and joint heirs. It's the name. The name is above every name. Amen. So it's faith in that name. It's going to give you perfect soundness. Perfect. And God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for that guy, he'd do it for you. He'd do it for you. He'd do it for you. But when I accepted Jesus in my kitchen and I got born again up there in that holler, I literally really gave my life to God. I surrendered whatever you want to do with me. I don't know what you're going to do with me. Whatever you want to do with me, do it. I literally gave him my life. Well, I'd been saved maybe about two years, and I came down with the worst case of strep throat. And by this time, I'm in the Word of God. I'm in the Word of God. I'm in the Word of God. I'm seeking God. I'm praying. I'm seeking God. I'm praying. And I'm fasting. I found out about fasting. I didn't know anything. So I'm seeking God. And I come down with strep throat so bad that I'm telling you, the fever 105 again. This was the first time I experienced healing. And I had blisters so bad. They were white and I couldn't swallow, couldn't hardly breathe. And I had this horrible fever, and I worked in a dental office at the time. I just got this job in a dental office as an assistant. God did that for me. And I had access to antibiotics and everything. But you know, I just had got a revelation of the Word of God about healing. That by the stripes of Jesus. It's in 1 Peter. Let's look at that. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24. Now here's that word of God I'm sharing with you this morning. That if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, see, anytime you're confessing the Lord Jesus, you're confessing the word of God. Just get the word in your mouth and it's just the same as confessing the Lord Jesus. Get that word in your mouth. It's just like confessing the Lord Jesus. It's no different. You can't separate Jesus from what he says. So if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins. in his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, were is a past tense word. It's past tense. It happened. 2,000 years ago was when you were healed. You just had to wait for a few centuries to come along and get conceived in somebody's womb and get born to, and then come to a revelation of it. But you really were healed 2,000 years ago. Who his own self bare his own body on the tree, that you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripe you were healed. Now for years and years, I just said that in my head. But there was a day that it dropped into my spirit. The day that it dropped into my spirit, it's like, nope, you can't go back. By his stripes I was healed. When was I healed? I was healed 2,000 years ago. I'm not trying to get healed. I am the healed of the Lord. I have to manifest it with my mouth. Remember, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and he did, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto healing, whatever it is you need to be healed from or delivered. Christianity. This is what being a Christian's all about. It's not about being good. It's about believing God. Amen. It's about believing, being a believer. I'm a believer. By whose stripes you were healed. So going back to my story, I had just read this. I just read this and I just got a revelation that God always heals 100% of the time. I was taught early on, they got a hold of me in the little Baptist church early on. Nothing wrong with Baptists, but they got me down early on and said, now, you know, God's in control of everything that's going to happen to you. And you know that you just kind of got to go along with it and, you know, beg real hard and cry real hard and hang at the altar and beg and cry. And then maybe God will help you. And then, you know, on the other thing, it all is happening for a reason, to teach you something. I mean, I bought all that. But then I began to realize the Word of God teaches something completely different. Completely different. And I actually, what happened was I was in a hospital situation. And these preachers came in and they kind of set me straight. And they said, well, you mean everything doesn't happen for a reason? No. God is the healer. He's already healed you. And it made me mad. I remember it made me mad. But then I got in the Word and I got a revelation of what he says. So I'm on my knees before God, and I've got this terrible, terrible case of strep throat, terrible fever, terrible case. And I'm I just fell on my knees. I said, okay, God. I'm probably about this time, I'm about 24 by then. And I said, look, if I'm going to serve you the rest of my life, I'm giving you the rest of my life. I don't know how long I'll live, but if I'm going to live for you the rest of my life, I've got to know this thing is real. I got to know that you are really, really, really who you say you are to me. And this is after I had that revelation that, you know, he heals. I just put God to the test. Remember, it says to prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. So I had to prove. Is this real? Is this true? Do you really heal 100%? In fact, this is what I told God. I said, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. I'm willing to do that. But if this is real, I have to know it's real. And I just went to God and I said, I'm not going, and this is what I did. I said, God, I had my Bible on the floor. I said, read what it says. Of course, God knows his word. I said, I'm not going to do. God, I'm not going to no doctor. I'm not going to take any antibiotics. I'm going to die right here in this living room if you don't heal me. You got to go up and heal me. I'd miss work and everything over this. And do you know instantly he healed me? Instantly. Instantly. I'm talking instant manifestation. Instant. Blister, bop, gone. Instantly. Now you talk about growing some faith. I'd say my little basket of faith went whoop. It just went whoop. My level just whoop. And it set me on a place. It put me in a position to want more. really did. But very few people ever challenge God's word like that. Because they like themselves so much. I don't care if I die. I'll just die and go to heaven. Because I'm not going to serve a God that isn't real. I ain't going to live. I can go out here and have a party every night. I didn't have any friends anymore. All my friends wouldn't come around me after I start preaching Jesus, Jesus, Jesus every time you turn around. My friends, I had no friends. I had a whole new life to start over. And it is like that when you're serving God. Your old friends won't understand you. Your old friends will think you're out the... They'll think you're nuts. You've done something you should... You smoke way too much weed is what you've done. God, I got to hold some stuff. It messed me up. My family thought I'd lost my mind. My dad would come down on a regular basis. Trizzy, you done lost your mind. You done went religious crazy. They're going to come and take you away in a striped jacket. Seriously, they thought I lost my mind. But you know what? I did lose my mind. I got in the Word of God and got my mind renewed to the Word of God. And I'm still getting my mind renewed to the Word of God. I don't think like normal. I don't think normal stuff like most folks that are not born again. I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I think like God thinks. Because remember, now faith is. Now we got, there's so much. I mean, you know what? I think I did good in an hour. I wish I had 5 hours. I still wouldn't get it all out. Because faith works by love. I forgot that ingredient. There is an ingredient when it comes to faith. Faith worketh by love. And you know, in Rome and 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about now faith. There's three: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But don't ever think you're walking in faith when you're just experiencing hoping it'll happen, because that's hope. It's time to get our faith in the now. Time to get it now. Faith is. Can I leave you one more verse? One more verse. It's in Mark 11. Mark 11. And you know what? You see this notes? These were jotted down this morning. 2 pages. All about faith. I was going to say, okay, there's something called no faith. That's in Deuteronomy 32:20 and Mark 4:40. There's a lot of people that have no faith. Then there is little faith, Matthew 6:30. And, you know, little faith. Jesus told Peter when he walked on the water, you had little faith. You know, I settle for little faith. I say most people have no faith. No faith. But, you know, have you ever walked in water? I haven't. But he did that with little faith. Did you know that? There's something called great faith. Matthew 15:28. Matthew 8:10. Great faith, great faith. There's a lot of scripture about faith. I showed you faith through his name. I showed you up justified by faith, didn't I? There's something called mutual faith. We all have mutual faith, by the way. There's a measure of faith. I shared that. And then there's another verse in Romans 12:6 talking that we operate our gifts by the proportion of faith that's given unto us. There's condemning faith. I mean, there's just a lot of ways for God. Then there's vain faith. And then there's spirit of faith. Maybe you like to get my notes. But these were scriptures that just came this morning to me. Where did I say go? Okay, Mark 11. And I'm going to close with this. Mark 11. 22, 23, and 24. Jesus answering saith unto them. Everybody there? Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Now, if you've got a serious situation going on in your life, who hasn't had a serious situation? Do you want somebody to pray for you that it's just going to hope it'll get better? Or do you want somebody who knows how to operate in now faith? Doesn't that make sense? Somebody can believe God now? I don't even tell people my problems that I don't think are going. Because, you know, you tell your problems to people who have no faith at all, it can make your situation worse. Did you know that? Seriously, they can negate your faith. You're praying, you're believing. You got somebody here not believing. I don't want you praying for me if you don't believe. I want people believing with me. Hook up with me. Jesus said, anything that any two of you shall touch in agreement when they pray. It's when you pray you agree. It's when you pray, you agree, and you believe. Touching anything that they shall ask. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith that saves the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, the Bible says. It talks about the prayer of faith. But look at this. Jesus answering said, and have faith in God. That means have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, this is the verse I'm trying to get to. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus is saying, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Most people never operate in this kind of faith. I haven't seen very many people I know operate in this kind of faith. I know some who do. Some do. I know some folks who do. This is the challenge, that when you know something you want from God, you know what it is you want. This is when now faith is working. Believe you receive them. When did you believe you received them? It says when you prayed. When you prayed, you believed you received them. Right then you received it. In other words, you're healed. When you prayed, you were healed. Not trying to get healed. Not hoping to get healed. You're healed. When you got a situation, when did you believe? When you prayed. When you prayed, you believed. Now, a lot of people got to pray 50 times before they ever kick that believing in. They got to confess maybe 2 months. Then that finally, that confession will finally drop into their spirit. And that word will begin to ignite faith in their heart. And then they can finally get it out of their mouth in faith. And then they can speak to that mountain. Then they can call that. But I'm telling you, this is what happens. You get to a point where when you finally pray that prayer of faith. And you let me tell you, you know when you've prayed by faith. You know when you're not just praying out of your head and you've kicked in something called faith. Got it in fifth gear now. Bam, I got it. I'm telling you, it works like that. I have cried and prayed and done everything to get something to happen and make God make something manifest when all the time it had to do with my faith experiencing it when I prayed. Believe it when I prayed. And I knew I had it. I had it when I prayed. See, we want to see it and then we'll believe it. We want to have the manifestation of the healing and then believe it. We have to believe it when we prayed. We have to have it when now faith kicks in. And it's a spiritual thing. Father, I seal this word today. I seal this word. I seal this word in every heart, every mind, every life. And I thank you for the word of God and the challenge to live by faith, God. Oh, Father God, I thank you for the challenge to live by faith. To every believer, no exceptions, we all have to do this. So God, you teach us how to believe, teach us how to confess with our mouth, teach us how to speak to our mountains. Teach us, God, how to live for you in faith, totally in believing you, in Jesus' name.